Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. My guest today needs no introduction. He is a true American hero and America's general. Thank you for joining me, General Flynn.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. I wanted to have you on for multiple reasons. First and foremost, we have to really start looking at where we are and where we're going. There's so much distraction, so much division being manipulated. People are, I think, a little exhausted, and we don't have time to stop. We have I sent you a document I got about a war plan, looks very similar to David Brock's Democracy Matters, a war plan that was aimed at you and other people coming for 2023. They don't want us to do any investigations. In fact, they're going as ugly and dirty lawfare again. So we need to kind of go on the offensive and have kind of a plan. So where are we, and what should people that are on the side of good and God and America be focusing on?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, so there's a whole bunch of things here to unpack. But one of the things I was listening to today, in fact, just a little while ago, I was listening to a live discussion out in Maricopa County, because there's a debate going on, right? And you have all these people going in front of their elected officials who are like blowing them off. I mean, it's almost like it's pathetic listening to the elected officials. It's like, oh, thank you for your remarks. Next. Thank you for your remarks. Next. You know, it's kind of like that. And then a gentleman gets up there and he says, I'm so-and-so. And the guy says, well, your name's not on the docket here. And he says, yes, it is. It is. I mean, they're arguing all these petty things when the people this seems minor or seems low level, thinking about a county level commission that is being engaged by its citizenry, but it matters so much to, frankly, for the rest of this country. Because if Arizona does not get healed by its citizens, and I mean healed like physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually healed by getting involved and saying, look, we're not going to accept this election. We're not going to accept the results. I mean, we're talking about a number that I saw this morning, 275,000 ballots weren't counted. I mean, this is insane. So that has to be fixed. And they can run, you know, there's a great conversation going on by a lot of citizens saying, you know, if we rerun the election, we can save ourselves, right?
Right.
Because the rest of the country kind of goes, it's Maricopa County, it's Arizona, they'll figure it out. No. If we don't get it right in all of these places, and Maricopa right now is the center, it's like the eye of the storm.
Right.
And the eye is passing. And if the eye, you know, if something doesn't get resolved, then the storm is going to hit the rest of this country, and we're never going to have another fair election in this country again. And so 2024, for at least for the electoral college component of our election system, which selects a president and a vice president, we will never have a path for a Republican to win the electoral college if Arizona goes the way it's going to go. It's interesting to bring it up a notch. So the Democratic Party, what they really did was they just got tired, although they're not giving up, but they got tired of trying to get Florida and Texas, constant battles to get Florida, Texas. And really, in the last 20 years, probably 30, they have taken the Rust Belt. Okay, they've taken, you know, Pennsylvania, they've taken Michigan, they've taken Wisconsin, they've taken Minnesota. They have a pretty good foothold in places like Ohio. And in over time, many, many years, in fact, I think it's 100 years, if whatever the way Florida went and Pennsylvania went, the rest of the country went for the presidency of the United States of America. Well, that changed in 2020. And they are going to affirm that change. And they did it here in this most recent midterm. And people are going to say, well, wait a second. The House won. The House of Representatives is now a Republican, under Republican control. Yeah, that's good. And that matters. And we can talk a little bit about that based on this war strategy that has been discovered, you know, maybe a whistleblower or some good patriot. We need to talk about it. But the fact that the House, won is good, but it's not going to amount to what it is that we need in our country, which is a fair election system. The House is not going to be able to fix that. Only citizens can fix the election system, and they fix it at the county level. That's why we're having this ongoing live debate out in Maricopa County today. And it's an incredible constitutional provision that we have in order to be able to get out there and sort of in your face talk to these elected leaders who, you know, are in there and supposed to do the bidding, supposed to do, you know, consent of the governed. And so all of this comes down to really what is happening in the, you know, in the United States of America and what's happening around the world. There is a globalist takeover of the world. And it's, you know, the people are going to go, oh, conspiracy theory. No, there is a new world order. You got Klaus Schwab out of the World Economic Forum in the latest G19 summit, because one of the countries wasn't invited, you know, so yeah. Out in Bali, Indonesia. And Klaus Schwab talks about, he uses the phrase, I think, great segmentation, meaning we have to segment the world back to and divide it up a bit into, because of the culture that they want to create. And he also talks about the essentially the strife and the chaos that could come with this segmenting the world into the new world order under this rubric of the new world order. I mean, this is a guy who is running essentially a very well-funded and giant think tank. And he's addressing the world as though he's addressing the leading nations of the world as though he's in charge.
Yeah, it's shocking. I've done a lot of work on it for the last several years. And the truth of the matter is that what he's doing, what they're all doing, and it's not just him, he's a front man. It's actually this global public-private partnership he calls a stakeholder capitalism. And it's kind of usurped all of the UN, World Health Organization, and then it's the banking cartel as well. And what I say to people, if they say it's a conspiracy theory, I say, go look at their website. Because the thing about this group of people is they are so arrogant. They're not like the people that groomed them to be there, like Kissinger and Brzezinski and them. They were covert. These people are in our faces. Yeah. And I think that as they've dumbed down or tried to dumb down all the people, they kind of dumbed down themselves, because they are in our faces. He actually said that they're going to have to transform the world. And when he said it, he said the people in this room. So if people don't understand that these people already think that they are some kind of super class and that this is worldwide, that's why I keep saying to people, we have to stop the divide and conquer, because it's them doing it too. Like, we're going to talk about that document. It is the same oligarch, billionaire, trillionaire class. It's worldwide. They're all in cahoots with their young global leaders that they put everywhere. But at the same time, there's not that many of them. It's just that they control the media and they control the narrative, and big tech is involved. But at the end of the day, there's about 7 billion of us or more, and about 3,000 of them. And yet this is what they do. And people have to realize they have no authority.
Yeah. And one of the things that's going on, and I'll take his speech from, this is really important. And people, you know, maybe you can link it on your site for people to listen to it. He talks about really four things. He talks about the scope of this change. And he talks about it in a way where he basically says, we need to accelerate global change. He's talking to this body of leaders. Right. We need to accelerate global change. And some of those leaders are dictators, by the way. But he kind of breaks into four things: scope, the speed in which it's going to happen, that it must happen. And that means we have to accelerate it. He's saying we have to accelerate. Why? Because they got caught. Right. They got caught because the American people aren't putting up with it, and hopefully the people of Brazil aren't going to put up with it either. The third point, I think, was the exponential scale of what is happening. So we're talking about global, right? Not just the county or not just the country, but the entire world. And then he finishes by addressing it as the winner takes all.
Right.
Winner takes all. And I mean, the arrogance in that statement alone, you know, tells you everything that you need to know. So when you're listening to him give that speech and he gets to that point, I'm like, you son of a bitch, you know, you son of a gun. Oh, my God. What you're talking about is basically, you know, like he says, the fourth industrial revolution. It's actually the next stage of the Third Reich.
Right.
And this is the where this guy comes from. This guy comes from a background and an upbringing where had Hitler won the day in Europe and frankly in the world back in the middle of the last century, Klaus Schwab would have been right there in the middle, perfect. He would have fit right in. And so the fourth industrial revolution is a carryover from what Hitler really wanted, which was total global domination. And he was doing it in a way where, and that was sort of his whole manifesto. And the whole idea of the Third Reich, the rise of the Third Reich, this is the rise of the fourth industrial revolution. And it for a long time, for decades, they would do different things, and they had a nice plan in place. Post Obama, it would have been, Hillary would have come in, and it all fell flat on its face because, frankly, the American people, like we always used to say in war, in my military days, the enemy has a vote. Well, in this case, the reverse of that was America had a vote at a time that was still relatively fair, and now we know there was some cheating going on in 2016. But it wasn't mail-in ballots, right? It was just the machinery, and so Donald Trump beat the algorithms, handle it. What they had to do is they had to impose COVID, and so COVID comes in, the mail-in ballots. Everybody goes with mail-in ballots. So now, really, what they're talking about is now they're going to implement this vaccine ID card, okay? This global vax card. And you are not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to travel. And there's going to be blue states, right? There's going to be states in this country that are going to go to mandatory vaccinations for whatever unknown reason. And there's definitely going to be countries on the planet that are going to have vaccine cards. You're not going to be able to travel to them. And so the challenge is you'd say to those places, well, fine, I just won't go there. And if you were a legitimate country run by legitimate people, you'd say, well, we won't trade with them. We will actually use the strength of our economy to shut them down if they want to play that game. But the problem is the levers of power in our country are now run by these globalist elitists, right? They're run by the levers of power. The levers of power in this country, the financial lever of power, the judiciary, right? The judicial lever of power, the academic lever of power, the tech titans, the social media levers of power. I mean, with a few exceptions, because of what we're seeing with guys like Elon Musk grabbing a hold of Twitter and really looks like he's having a lot of fun with it. But all this, comes into the realm of what I call, I have a book out now about it, about the Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. This idea of fifth generation warfare. Fifth generation warfare is a war of narratives. It's a war for your mind. We have been getting beaten up across the head and shoulders for years, if not decades, in the media that you're this, you're this, you're this, or you're that, you're that, you're that. And it has caused this incredible level of division in this country. And where you feel like your neighbor is your enemy. And in fact, one of the things that I write about, our neighbor is not our enemy. What we have been led to believe is that they are, because we believe, I look at something and I say, well, geez, it's common sense. Gas costs $5 a gallon right now, right down the street from my house. It was 2 years ago, it was $1.80, right? So I'm thinking, well, it makes sense that I would rather put $1.80 gallon gas into my car than $5 a gallon. So how do we get there? And somebody is the media primarily, but the White House is going to sit there and they're going to try to tell us, oh, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. Actually, that price is not bad. In fact, we're going to bring it down another 50 cents to $4.50 a gallon, and you'll be happy, right? I mean, the insanity that we are dealing with, Mel, and what we're facing, what we're fighting against is this, and it gets back to what Schwab is really trying to do. And Schwab is trying to do it through a path of other World Economic Forum leaders, right? Young leaders who he raised up to be prime ministers and presidents and kings and other rulers. So they have cut a deal with the devil. Okay. The World Economic Forum has cut a deal with the devil. And one of the things that your audience needs to know is that there is no God. There's no God in this globalist society. There's none. I mean, I've been accused of all kinds of things lately. It's been Christian national. You know, the opposite of a Christian nationalism is a globalist atheist, right? So, hey, if I'm a Christian, so be it. If I'm a patriot, love my country, so be it. But when I look at these people and I say, what is it that you're trying to do? You're trying to crush the soul of the American people, and they are. And sadly, because of the way that they have operated for so many years, there are many people in this country that believe a lot of this nonsense. And they think, oh, this is, you know, this Flynn guy is a crazy guy. He's done this or that. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, no. Well, I was going to say with what you're talking about is that if people just did a little bit of their own research, I have a good free resource page. You can look it up. The UN was usurped also by the World Economic Forum. They have an agreement. They're one in the same. They are not separate. The World Health Organization, same thing. The World Bank, the IMF, the BIS. If you look at their websites, you do your own, just go to their own websites and you put in anything we're talking about, you're going to read pretty much in horror that this is exactly what they've planned. They're very well funded. And the scary part is that and this goes with the fifth generation warfare. What they do is they use our good God-given emotions and our compassion and empathy. And then they behave like, you know, give us all your money and we'll, you know, help Africa or we'll help this place or we'll help that place. Playing on the emotions that they don't have, as far as I'm concerned, on us. And people then start to think, well, you know, we're trying to help a depart. We're going to give... They, you know, Yellen and all of them, they want an international tax of all of our nations to pay climate reparations. But if people did the research and looked at the IMF and how they function, they've called Africa, they even called China a developing nation. And their whole thing is the rich nations have to help the developing nations, but they're not talking about any nations. They're talking about all the money going to them and then them doing with it what they will. And people think, well, it's for the good of man. No, it's not. It's for the good of this group.
It's for the good of them. I mean, it's for the good of this like 0.1%.
Right.
And they are going to own. I mean, they own a lot and they are very powerful and they're very wealthy. And they use it not to our advantage. They're not using it to solve global health issues at all. I mean, if they were, they'd stop forcing vaccinations, a deadly a capability that is murdering people essentially, because there's an intention behind it. And so they would stop that nonsense. They would stop some of the things that they're doing. They would stop the tearing down of societies that actually function pretty well on their own with all of their, you know, with all of their warts and all. They still are fine nation states. I mean, One of the things that's happening down in Brazil right now, because the people of Brazil are not going to fall for the theft of their country. They're just not. So it'll be interesting to see, because the latest thing I read today about Brazil was that Brazil, the military is now going to step in, you know, they're going to step into a role, which is for them, it's a constitutional role that says, you know, while we rerun the election, essentially, big picture, we're going to take over the running of the country. Because otherwise, the country will fall into total chaos, as it has been, you know, in its own history. And it wasn't like 250 years ago. It was not that long ago. So these countries that were former democracies turned into essentially, you know, free countries like a Brazil under a guy like Bolsonaro, who is by all definition, he's a Brazilian nationalist. He's a Brazilian first kind of guy, right?
Well, that's the problem for them.
Right, right. And the World Economic Forum doesn't like that. And that's why I say the G20 meeting, I call it the G19, because Russia was not invited.
Right.
Now, say, you know, people can have their opinions about Putin and about Russia, but that's... The reason why he wasn't invited or he didn't attend was because he is a nationalist. He is a guy that believes in Russia first. He is a guy that says, look, NATO, stop encroaching on my country's territory, because I have a responsibility to my country to be able to protect it. And so what it caused is it caused a lashing out. And even though Klaus Schwab talks about Putin in the past, you know, in other previous speeches about, you know, even Putin was a World Economic Forum, you know, one of our junior leaders or whatever. I think what happened was that Putin realized what they were doing. They were creating a globalist society, and he didn't want anything. He didn't want to have any part of it. And frankly, he speaks for the majority of the people of Russia. We don't want to be part of some globalist society that's going to dictate what we're going to do with our money, what we're going to do with our resources, and what we're going to do with our bodies, for that matter. And I mean, God, you know, this vaccination card that they just came out with, this is a very, very dangerous thing, because we've already learned what you know, how bad the vaccine is. I mean, how deadly this thing is. So anyway, I mean, there's so much going on. The idea about warfare, though, I think in fifth generation warfare, you know, it's designed to affect all of our actions. It's designed to affect who you vote for, the social causes that you support. I mean, I was watching some of the NFL football last night, you know, because I liked a couple of the teams that were playing, but I paid really close attention to the commercials.
Right.
And it's fascinating, the commercials. So, and I'm one of these guys that those are things that I pay attention to, because I have, you know, a background and a set of experiences, but also an expertise in certain areas of national security and global security. And I'm looking at these commercials, because, you know, we just did this fifth generation warfare book, and I'm looking at these commercials, and I'm like, the type of people that are in them, the messaging that's coming across, even the colors that they use,
yeah,
to try to shape whoever's watching them into believing that something is true, or that this is what the majority actually looks like. And it is so, it's so out of the norm. And you look at it, you're saying to yourself, oh my God. But that's how they cause you to believe in a particular social cause. They bombard you. They bombard us through messaging constantly. In the business, in the world of business years ago, they used to have, and they still do to a degree, but they used to teach quite a bit, because I've actually taken classes on it, and I studied a bit. It's called subliminal messaging. And people can go up and look at subliminal messaging. And, you know, from a business perspective, you would use subliminal messaging to sell something, right? Mm-hmm. To sell an idea, to sell a product. And subliminal messaging would be these little tiny things, these nuances that they would put into commercials or into a magazine or onto a package that would cause you to buy it. And they tested these things so many times. They tested them very often. Well, that subliminal messaging goes back to the days of propaganda, when we were really good at propaganda, particularly in the military, particularly, you know, back in the days of World War II, where we used propaganda quite a bit. And the U.S. joined forces with the Brits, organizations like the BBC, right?
Okay.
British Broadcasting Corporation, MI6, CIA, Hollywood. And we got involved in heavy doses of sort of populism and propaganda. These are things that are real. So all that's just carried forward. And since early 1970s, 71, with the rise of the World Economic Forum till now, they have basically flipped the whole thing on its head. And now we're the targets, and the targets are to cause us to believe that something dramatic has to change, and it's us that has to change. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to Obama's whole message. And when you look back and you look at some of the people that he chose, Cass Sunstein and the head of the science then and the head of technology underneath Obama, there were a lot of people that were very invested in this. And we know the Smith Modernization Act happened, no matter what they say. And you and I did a whole piece on PBS and NPR, and that we're actually funding them through grants from the government.
Right.
So we're kind of funding our own thing, but they also have behavioral control experts and PR firms and advertising agencies. And they all do this together, because what they say is, we're going to have commercials and movies and TV that reflects America. But if you look at it, it has nothing to do with America. That's not what America looks like. That's not the divisions of America. But they, like I keep saying to people, they keep telling you democracy, democracy, majority rules. Well, if the media is creating the majority and it's not really the majority, then what are we talking about when they say democracy is in danger? Their control of the message and the narrative and the people that are still brainwashed by them, because a lot of this goes back to things you've talked about in the past. I bring up sometimes the Aquino Mind Wars document that was leaked a long time ago, where he was saying that they were getting so good at mind control and at manipulation, behavior modification, basically, that they could, that there would be a time in the future, I think he actually was saying 2020, that they wouldn't need weapons, that they would be able to take down a whole nation psychologically. And you know, I think that that's where we are. But here's the great thing about propaganda. If you know it's happening, it can't work. And that's why I think speaking out about it more is really important.
And I think that people need to understand that when, because we hear this phrase that this is a danger to democracy, that democracy dies in darkness. It's not a danger to democracy. It's a danger to our constitutional republic, which is the form of government that we have. Democracy will last as long as there is a viable, an ideological, you know, system of government that has structure to it. And our government, our democracy, our version of democracy, which is a constitutional republic, has a structure called the Constitution. And there are so many threats. So it's not threats to democracy. It's threats to our Constitution. But they won't say that. So what they say is that, you know, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Michael Flynn, General Flynn, is a threat to democracy. You know, Mel Kay and these independent voices out there, these are threats to democracy. No, they're not. These are actually protectors of our constitutional republic and our very right, the rights that we are, that are God-given rights, right? I mean, we're the ones protecting it. What they're talking about is they're trying to impose this thought and this idea that democracy is under attack. It's not under attack. Our constitutional republic is under attack, and it's under attack by them. It's under attack. And when I say them, because people always say, well, who's they? Who's them? Them and they are this globalist elite group.
Right.
And it starts with a guy like a Klaus Schwab, the George Soroses, the Bill Gates. There's plenty of them here in this country.
Right.
Many of them are living and breathing in the White House. Some of them are in the Department of Justice. Some of them are over in the Department of Defense. Many of them are over at the Department of State. And they're the people that are in charge of these institutions, in charge of these places. There's many of them. They're called presidents of universities all around this country, and in just an incredibly liberal bastion. There are many of them over in Silicon Valley in the guise of Funderburk there, you know, Zuckerbuck.
Yeah.
In Wall Street. I mean, so there's names and there's faces and there are paths that they are following that are along the similar path towards globalism and this new world order. It is very, very real. Yeah. And, you know, last night, I understand that I did not watch it, but I do tape, and I'm going to watch. I'm going to go out and watch it when I get done speaking with you. But I understand that Tucker was talking last night about the digital currency, this digital currency that we are looking to be. It's going to be imposed on us here starting next quarter. The digital currency is like the vax card, and they're going to combine the two. They'll end up wanting to combine the two because, you know, you won't be able to spend money unless you get vaccinated. Right. So all of us are going to be given a carbon footprint, right? We're all going to be, and they think carbon footprint, what's that? Well, that's how much greens you eat, how much vegetation you eat versus how much meat do you eat. If you eat too much meat, your carbon number, your ESG number is going to go up. Your environmental number is going to go up. I mean, this is insane, but this is what is going to happen. And the only way that we dismiss it, the only way that we stop it is by, I mean, literally, and I mean this, and I said this earlier to another friend, we have got to get involved at the local level. I can't overemphasize that, because people are like, oh my God, we're, you know, the sky is falling. Well, it will crush you if you don't do something about it, given what you can do. Right. Not everybody has my platform, and I can deal. at the national level. I can deal at the international level, and I get, you know, I can get an audience at the international level. I can get an audience at the national level. I can talk whether they want to believe me or not, but they'll have to listen because, you know, I carry a little bit of sway, and I don't mind that. I say that, you know, very humbly, because it's something I have to be very careful about and very protective about. But most people, 99% of American citizens, particularly Americans, they don't have that kind of platform. The platform that they have is whatever's 50 feet from their door. So, you know, if you're a member of a church or a synagogue, if you're a member of a club, a local club or not, go join one. Go figure out how do you get involved instead of sitting there wringing your hands and whining about whatever's happening, you know, and listening to us. I mean, listen to get informed. Right. Listen to get informed. And listen to other people to get informed. But judge the information. This is where, like, I have really become a big believer in this word discernment. You know, discernment is a big, sort of a very sort of religious word. But discernment is a word that it's essentially, it's an extra check on your own judgment of what you are seeing and what you will believe, right? What you will believe, not necessarily what you do believe. It's what you will believe. And there is an effort to make us believe that something that is not true is absolutely true, and it has to be that way. And they're going to do it through a variety of means, and they're going to do it through time. And they've done this very well, masterfully, actually, over the last couple of decades. All that happened to us. So how did we get here? We got here because we were apathetic. So now, you know, I'm sort of being, you know, a little bit mean, but we've been apathetic. We're lazy. You know, we have not gotten involved. We just sort of let politicians, you know, we kind of say, politicians, they're all corrupt. They're all corrupt. And then we keep voting them into office.
Right.
You know, so all of that said, the American people, that's all I can really worry about, because the rest of the world, you know, is actually going in the wrong direction with maybe the, like, you know, I mentioned Brazil, if something changes there, but the American people have to decide to get more involved in their communities. What I was watching in the live debate going on out in Maricopa County, out in Arizona, it is encouraging for me, because people are going in there and they're pleading. I mean, at least the couple that I listened to, they were pleading to the commission there, to the elected officials, pleading to them to say, look, you can't deny that this thing was filled with problems. I mean, never right. mind fraud, just it was filled with problems. And if, you know, if you accept that, and then let's take it to the next step. If you accept that there is a takeover of our country, which is very real, they're coming after you.
Right.
They're coming after you. They're only using you as a tool right now. Because if you don't, all of a sudden somebody shows up to your house and goes, well, we need to collect all your children, or you know, not everybody in your house is vaccinated. We're going to sit here until you get six shots in your arm by the end of the day, all of you in your home. And you're like, wait a second. I thought I was part of the team. I thought I was helping out in Maricopa County. I thought we had gotten those machines rigged the way you wanted them to be rigged. Well, that's right. Thank you. And you did the right thing. You were very good. But now you're going to get shots. Sit down and shut up.
Right. I mean, Germany, exactly. There were people that aided the Nazis until they came for them. And that's true. Right. And it happened. And that's the way it goes. And that's what's going to happen here. Because, again, like you're saying, our country has been usurped by oligarch, billionaire, trillionaire class that own everything and everyone that's making these horrible decisions for our country, because they're not making them for our country. There is also a mentality. I wonder what you think of this. I've been talking about it. Of wanting to be part of a club. There's a cult, I also believe, out there that we're watching be exposed. We've been trying, you and I, for a long time. But they want to be a part of something so much that they leave everything behind. So there are people that are members of the Council on Foreign Relations or of some of these different think tanks or some of these other groups. They may be good people. I don't know about that. But they may be very good people. But at the end of the day, even with being invited to the World Economic Forum, these are clubs where you're invited into them. And right. there's some kind of mentality of they must know at least some of them in their hearts what they're doing. But there's this group cult mentality, I feel like, even all the way up to the top of this globalist regime that is really insidious. And people have to understand that, you know, maybe not everyone is gets what they're doing, but there is a division there that is very strong, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it is cult-like, and when they come after groups and they target groups, it's actually in the definition, there is a target audience. Okay, so in the definition of, so when you think about psychological operations and psychological actions that are taken from a military perspective, you take those psychological actions against a targeted audience. And in some cases, the targeted audience can be one, can be the commander, the enemy commander who you're trying to deceive, and you're trying to get him to make a decision because he may be the final decision maker for a specific action on a battlefield. So you're trying to target his mind, and you're doing deceptive things to try to deceive him into thinking you're going to go left, and you, instead you go right. And he protects his right flank, and he protects the wrong flank, right? That's on in warfare. In the world of psychological operations, when you're talking about these targeted audiences and these targeted actions that they are taking, they actually choose different audiences. They choose Hispanics, they choose African Americans, they choose Jews, they choose Christians, they choose Catholics, they choose they choose the poor, they choose the wealthy. It just depends on what it is and which group they need to focus on, because if for years, you know, they choose academics, they choose the wealthy, you know, bankers, let's say, right? So they target their audiences and they work on them. And so let's go back, you know, in recent history, recent being the last, you know, 30, 40 years. So the Democratic Party, they targeted the African-American communities, right, across the country.
Right.
They targeted families. And they targeted families their goal was to break down the idea of what a family, what the family institution meant to society. Because without a family as a healthy institution, you really don't have a healthy society. They targeted women with the whole abortion thing, right? The entire, you know, and the women's movement, my body, my choice, and all these great, you know, phrases that they used. And then they just beat into those targeted audiences. And they did it with people who seemed to be initially, wow, they are really, you know, those are really smart women, or those are smart, you know, politicians, or those are smart businessmen, or whatever. They were, you know, military people. They targeted groups of people, and they've been doing this so well for essentially for 50 years. And so, you know, the acceleration, and back to Klaus Schwab, the acceleration of all of this now is in a place where they know that their message is actually not quite working. And the reason why they know that is because of people like you, Mel, because there's, I call them indies. There's independent broadcasters, independent journalists, citizen journalists. You know, I use the phrase, you know, speech back in 2016, I think. Digital soldiers, I get in trouble for that, you know. But it's the digital world of information. And from a military perspective, I look at people like you, and I look at many others out there who are really good at it. I mean, not conspiracy bomb throwing people, but people who are really looking and digging and researching and really know their audience, know the facts, you know, get the right messages, and are really just trying to discover the truth instead of feeding people what you want them to believe, right? Which is what, you know, the mainstream media does. They just feed people what they want you to believe, and they parrot it over and over and over. So this rise of independent voices, this rise of the sort of the new citizen journalist, and the rise of independent broadcasters has, you know, this is like throwing like a wrench in the cogs, right? It slowed things down because they're not sure how to deal with it. They really don't know how to deal with it, right? People in China, they're having a damn time right now getting the word out on what's happening in China. And there's some rioting going on in China. But this rise of independent voices is such a powerful, powerful body of people. And, you know, everybody, you know, you're doing it for the right reasons. You're also doing it because it's a, you know, it's your livelihood too, right? It's what you do for a living. And so you want your audience to not only pay attention to you and listen to you, but you want them to support you. And that's fine. That's the way it should be. Well, but what we need is we need the sort of the coming together, and we need to be mindful and watchful of what I call the infiltrators, right? There's infiltrators in our midst. And these infiltrators that throw these bombs out there, like, okay, here's the next best thing since sliced bread, or this is happening, or you know, there's some things that are just flat unreal, and people shouldn't be like fish out there and go for every hook that's thrown in the water, right?
Right. You know, that's good that you're saying that, because what I've been watching lately is a lot of division. That's why when I first sent you this, I said we gotta get united. We got to get under the same tent. We got to be focused, because even if some of these things that people are throwing out, you know, I mainly talk about what you're talking about. When I realized that this was international and I could follow the money and it was a group of people, and if we keep our eyes on them, we can defeat them. But now we're in a phase where the other side does feel a little threatened. Don't believe the media. You and I were both like, it doesn't matter what happens on November 8th. It's just another battle on November 9th.
Right.
So, you know, now we're here and we're seeing, just like you're talking about, a lot of infiltrators, infighting. It's all very counterproductive, because the other side, as I sent you the Brock memo, everyone knows about Media Matters, what they are, what they do. There's three groups: Facts First USA, Courage for America, and the Congressional Integrity Project. And it all sounds very similar to everything pre-2016 election and post-2016 election. And it's all the same people. It is this dark money, liberal oligarch, billionaires, trillionaires that are actually aligned with the World Economic Forum, folks. They're not Democrats. They are aligned with that same group to destroy America from the inside out. Well, they are looking at us coming into 2023, and they have a battle plan to go on, you know, overdrive again, destroy people, lawfare, go back and they have the whole thing I sent you. They're like turning all the facts from everything in the past, all the way back to this is a Clinton hitman, but all the way back. But they're turning, like, they're giving the talking points to their operatives. This is Media Matters, so it's basically all the mainstream media is getting this. And how to twist and turn Afghanistan, how to twist and turn COVID, how to twist and turn the border, how to twist everything. And then they have a whole list of, like, we discussed the 65 Project, how they're going to use lawfare against all, they're going to dig into people's lives. So we on our side that believe in God and country and America and are fighting for our children and our future, I have to understand, if we are divided, they have a lot better chance of succeeding. If we are united in our message and our fortitude, and like you always say, stay resolute, then we can beat this and win. But that's where I wanted you to opine on, you know, we are in for a battle. Even if these people that believe that there's a plan or think the military is saving us, or any, even if any, all of that's true, say, the other side doesn't care. they don't care.
They really don't. No, they really don't. They, you know, what's interesting is that this document, and you should post it, I guess.
I will with this
website. Some
I will.
But people need to read it. It's like capturing in a funny way. It's like capturing your enemy's plans, right? So, however it came about, it lays out a strategy for the next 2 years to, you know, partly to keep the White House from having to look pathetic and weak like they already do, or more pathetic and more weak than they already do, to let them stay out of this. And and he calls it a SWAT team, right? He calls it a SWAT team, to have this SWAT team of people. And he puts the names down. He's got all the names of it at the end. Who's going to be who's going to be the lead? They lay out their organizational plan. They lay out their strategy. They lay out exactly what it is that they're going to do. And they give their intent. And then they go back, they take us back through in this document, they take us back through, you know, all of the ways that during the Clinton administration, that Newt Gingrich, how Newt Gingrich went after the Clintons, you know, from everything from Officegate to, you know, to the, you know, the Clintons, to Benghazi. I mean, just everything. Why certain people couldn't get jobs, why, you know, Susan Rice, who I know, talk about a dangerous person. know, how Susan Rice was unable to become the Secretary of State because of, you know, because of going on stupid talk shows that she did and lying to the American people, you know, about Benghazi. That's just, so they lay, that's an example of one of the components of this plan. So they talk about how the Republicans went after them. And then they talk about the next stage of the document is what the likely areas from basically from statements from Republicans that Republicans have already made going back to CPAC this past summer, you know, in 2020, the statements from Jim Jordan, you know, and some of the other key congressmen, statements that said, if we get back in charge, you know, and the interesting thing I found was that, of course, this document was written before the election, before the midterm. And in it, he says, they're not likely to have as big of a margin of victory as they think. He says it up front in the beginning of it. And I'm thinking to myself, how the hell does he know that? How did David Brock know that this red wave that by all rights should have happened? How did he know that they weren't going to have as big a victory as we should have had? You know, and I think that we did have just by sheer fraud and a horrific election system that we have. But that's part of it. So they go in and they talk about the second part of it. They talk about all of the different things like the Hunter Biden scandal, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, frankly, the sheer incompetency of the Biden administration and the criminal behavior of the Biden administration. And then a couple of other...
The border, it's not real.
The border invasion, like it's not... Like he writes about it, like the borders. And he talks about the policies of the Biden administration being these great things that we have, and we've got to defend these because we have, it's again, back to the threat to democracy. And then he lays out the game plan. And in each component, each sort of section where they talk about it, they talk about how they see the Republicans doing it and then how we're going to counter it. I mean, it's a fascinating read. And the one thing I've always said on the battlefield was that when your enemy tells you they're going to do something, you better listen. You better listen. And you better be prepared for it, because if you're not, shame on you, because you captured the enemy plan and then you said, this is a fake. This is fake. No, this is not fake. This is very real. And this is a very thorough, very well thought out document. And frankly, you know, maybe they're hoping that people like you and me and an insufficient number actually get hold of it and do nothing about it. And they put it together. Now, the other side of this, Mel, as I looked at this and I went back and I did a little research on some of these people, they are going to raise a ton of money.
Right.
And this whatever 501c4 or PAC, it's probably going to be a PAC. It's going to be some type of new think tank that's going to be created. They're going to raise a ton of money from outside sources. And they're going to be like a government in and of themselves with the amount of money that they have. So for all of us that are out there fighting these little brush fire fights and trying to get, you know, grassroots movements to stand up and voter registration done and clean up their voter rolls and, you know, like I say, get involved in your community. For all that, I mean, we're not going to be able to compete against the money. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we are ready for this kind of information, that we are ready to discuss it, talk about it, counter it. We need to make sure that we make sure that right people in Congress are aware of it. I'm not even sure that members of Congress are aware of this. I'm going to make sure that they are.
You should. I'm going to point it out to them and say,
exactly. I mean, it's something that you have to plan for, right? Like I said, you plan for all scenarios, worst case and best case, and then all the ones in the middle. And if you don't have a plan for those, then the enemy ends up executing that strategy, then you lose. And so we're in a place where, you know, and they actually talk about it in this document. In the document, they talk about the main, you know, like the media as though we're the bad guys. Like they say how the media went against them. The media goes against the Democrats. I mean, it's insane. And the conservative media, like the conservative media today is what I already described earlier. It's all these independent voices out there that frankly are people like yourself and many others that are out there, and they're beating the drum of honesty, truth, authenticity, you know, not knowing all the facts, trying to get the right people on your shows to talk about these things. But these guys, David Brock in this memo addresses the media as though they're the enemy. These guys have ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, you know, and some other, frankly, other networks. Fox is one, Newsmax is another. I mean, these are, when I say mainstream media, they're all in that sort of bin because of the choices that they've had to make because of the corporate world that they operate within.
Right.
I mean, you know, another one of those is the Disney network. Disney.
Right, Hollywood and TV and advertising. Because at the top, a lot of these companies are owned by BlackRock and Vanguard, who are BlackRock thinks on the board of the World Economic Forum. He came up with the ESG score. So people have to always, I'm telling you, if people just start following the money, they're going to be shocked at how small the group that's manipulating everything is. But again, these are the people funding this.
Yeah, it's not that many people. The challenge is they have access to levers of power, meaning governments, government institutions for the most part, but they also have access to other institutions like the world of technology, the banking institutes, you know, academics, the healthcare industry, which affects every bit of us. And frankly, the other institution of power that they do have a pretty good grasp on is the religious institutions, plural. There's many, many religious institutions that these people have control over because of money. And frankly, not just the money as much as it is, they are untouchable. So if I am a particular religious group and I am going to keep my mouth shut and I'm going to follow what they're doing, then my 501c3 status will never be at risk. I'll still be able to get my tithings every show or every church Sunday, and I can have my yachts, I can have my planes, I can have my mansions, and nobody will bother me, and everybody will think that I'm wonderful, and I'll continue to keep my big church opened up. There are religious institutions in this country that are controlled by these people.
Yeah,
and again, it's when we talk about Arabella, we talk about Soros. You know, Schwab,
1630 Harari, Project, big one, and that's a foreign national.
and so back to this document, David Brock is he's sort of like their version of a prophet, right? I mean, except it's in a negative sense, and he's their messenger. He is their tactician, to do the ugly, dirty work that's going to need to happen to fight back against what is likely a bunch of investigations that are going to be done. And in this case, they're legitimate. They're not like the January 6th investigation. They're not like the Russiagate investigation. They're legitimate investigations against what we know to be true in places like Ukraine, what we know to be true. I mean, talk about January 6th. Look at what we've learned of the FBI informants inside the Capitol prior to the 6th of January. So what was going on there, Director Ray? So again, why are we going after, why are we allowing upwards of 25 million? So we're going to be at 5 million here, or we already have broken it. These people are talking about allowing 25 million refugees, but 25 million illegals to invade our country in the next couple of years. I mean, to what end and what for?
Yeah, and the same people that are paying for them to invade our country are the ones that are keeping puppets and their home countries disaster areas and not able to develop at all. So it's all just a big game. And what you're saying here is really, I think people have to understand also that we, this guy's a hitman. That's how I look at this guy. He's like a hitman, and he destroys lives and families. Many people, you included, have been one of his targets. Yep. And it happens again and again. But I think, General Flynn, the most upsetting thing about this to me, and which is why I like immediately sent it to you, was there's not a mention of the American people in this. There's not a mention of truth or justice or facts, or that we the people deserve to know all of the above. This is a document that's saying we're going to keep our power, his small group of elitists, no matter what. And it doesn't refer to the people at all.
It doesn't refer to the people. It doesn't refer to the Constitution. It doesn't refer to American values. Nothing. It doesn't refer to faith. It doesn't refer to God. It doesn't refer to any of that. This is a document. This is a war plan to stop, and you know, to stop what the, whatever the Republicans are going to do, and yet, who knows what they're going to do, but to stop whatever they're going to do, because you know they it's this back and forth, constant back and forth that we have in Washington D.C. The American people are sick of it, but there is an accountability that must occur. And we cannot have, if nothing more, and I know it's far more than this, but if nothing more, we can't have the president of the United States, right, in this case, Biden, we can't have him in office with his son, and we've already, and look at what we've already learned about China, about Ukraine, about deals in Iran, I mean, about pornography, about pedophilia, about human trafficking, I mean, all of these are just on that one device, just on that one device. So, and Joe Biden is directly tied. He's directly tied to it. And there's no myth about that. That's a known fact. So now it's a matter of investigating it to say, are you, you know, did you commit treason to this country? Did you actually commit a, you know, and now you're the sitting president. And, you know, one of the things that they don't talk about in it is a battle for election security. And I'm, that's, that, that kind of bothers me because it's almost like they're drawing the Congress, because they probably figured that this was going to fall into the hands of conservatives or Republicans. So they don't want to bring any attention to elections. You know, border problems aside, vaccination problems aside, which are egregious. If we don't have a fair election system, we don't have a constitutional republic. We cannot be consent of the governed. We cannot be we the people.
I think they already think they won. I think they already think what they didn't. But I think with Mark Elias and everything they've been doing and all the things that they implemented under COVID for voting, that's why you're saying on the county level, we the people have to make sure that the election stuff is our priority in our local community, because I have a feeling that these guys think that they already won. Yeah. And they think that, and like you and I one time talked about it, they don't care. They don't care. They don't. And that's got to be the goal, that we care. We care a lot more than they do, but that they don't care at all about that. That document, it, nothing for truth, nothing for justice, nothing for at least sorting out some of the facts for the American people. That's their job. Their job isn't to deflect and keep power in the hands of the elitists that he works for. One last thing before I let you go. America's future has dedicated a lot of its time. I know, your amazing sister is part of it, and you and other great people, to protecting our children. We're in a really precarious time. I've talked about for about 5 years some very unsavory stuff. I did a lot of work on the Epstein case, a lot of work on Hollywood before I even started my show, and exposing stuff. We are at a place where our children are in serious danger. And I just wanted to see you to talk a little bit about what you're doing and what you guys are doing, because a lot of people know, but maybe people don't know, that General Flynn has put our children and exposing this stuff and dealing with it above everything else. So I just want to talk a little bit about what you guys are doing for the children.
Yeah, thank you very much for raising that. So, you know, first of all, America's future is a 501c3. We're probably the oldest 501c3. Yeah. Actually, before 501c3s became 501c3s in the country. It started back in 1946. Great leaders throughout have been part of this organization. Our focus is on children, and it will be on using the platforms of those that are members of our team. And we have good members. You know, we have great. In fact, you know, Lara Logan, who's mentioned in that document. So we have people like Lara, and we have others who were victims of child trafficking, human trafficking. They were victims, and they have risen above it, and they really amazing stories and people. And so we are going to expose, we're going to expose this, and we're going to expose it in a way that's going to be more than just something that goes on over in Ukraine, which is one of the largest human trafficking bastions in the world, or something that comes across the border. We're going to expose it right here at home. We're going to expose the people, and we are going to go after that side on one hand, but on the other side, we're going to look to help out organizations that are taking care of these victims. And you know, I mean, it's a very, very, it's a monumental problem, a gigantic problem. So we have to really laser focus on who we can help. And we're going to be helpful to those organizations and those people who demonstrate a real desire and a real passion and love for children, particularly for children. I mean, if we can't find ways to allow children to have the opportunity to be kids, then we're really bad. We are you know, pathetic as a nation, and we're not. The majority of people want to help, and so we will. You'll see and hear more about from America's Future. People can go to americasfuture.net, and help us out. But we are going to laser focus on exposing and helping victims of human and specifically child trafficking. That's my passion, and that's my goal here for the next couple of years, as I continue to try to lead a little bit with the help of my sister Mary and some other great Americans who are part of our team at America's Future. So thanks for letting me say a little bit about that.
Well, it's really important. I always say, and I've said this for years, I'm also friends with Mike Smith. I know he's getting involved, and he made the great Out of Shadows with Liz Crokin. And I know a couple other people that are, Lara, of course. There's a lot of people out there doing this, but the truth is, it is so much bigger than people want to admit. And I think most people, General Flynn, no matter what I say, no matter what shows I do, who I bring on, they don't want to see it because it seems so unbelievable and evil, but it is gigantic and it has to be taken care of and it will be taken care of. But again, what you're doing is great, because what I did find in a lot of my work is that there is not a lot of rescue. There's not a lot of relief. Yeah. Go ahead.
I know these are difficult issues, and it's difficult. People don't want to see it because it's so out of, so crazy. But I want people to understand that to see it through the eyes of a victim being victimized. Okay. I mean, as difficult of an issue as these things are, or seeing photographs or hearing these stories, imagine being that person, imagine being that child, particularly a child who understands nothing. They don't understand life, or they trust adults. And yeah. So anyway, I want people to put that into that perspective, that see it through the eyes of the victim being victimized. And then you'll have a better appreciation of the struggle that we are going to have, because we're going to go through it, and it's necessary, and we're going to need help.
And I think we can all meet in the middle. There might be left and right, which I don't believe in, the Republican, whatever division you're in, everyone can meet in the middle when it comes to our kids. And that's what you're doing. And thank you, General Flynn, again. No one explains things like you. What you have done for our country is amazing. And you know what? I think a lot of people keep going because they watch you getting, no matter what happens to you, you stand up, you suit up, and you get back out there and keep fighting. And I think it's keeping a lot of people going. So thank you so much.
God bless. Thank you.
See you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Our liberties and freedoms are under attack in America. Our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, even the ability to work, the ability of parents to control what is happening in their children's schools, and our freedom to make our own medical choices. Hello, my name is General Mike Flynn. You see, across America, moms, parent groups, doctors, businesses, community organizations, and community leaders, truckers, ordinary citizens, everyone working every day to defend our freedoms and save the America that we all love and cherish. Our Save Freedom in America campaign is a nationwide crowdfunding campaign that is providing these organizations with the necessary resources they need to save our freedom and save our republic. By supporting the Save Freedom in America campaign, you are helping change the course of history, and I mean it. If we don't, our liberties and freedoms may be lost forever, and that is no joke. It's serious, and we, as I always say, local action equals a national impact, so get involved in your communities like you've never been involved before. Now, if you feel as passionately about saving the freedoms we enjoy, as many Americans do, as much as I do, I would like to ask you to join our nationwide effort and donate today. Every single dollar is going to organizations that are on the front line fighting for our very rights and freedoms. Please donate and then share this with those you know, so together we can save America. Please donate to this extraordinary campaign to save our country. Thank you so much for doing so. God bless you and God bless America.
Hello, Patriot Pals. I am here again to talk to you about something that's concerning me, and it might be concerning you. I would really like everyone to take seriously the Executive Order 14067 and go read it for yourselves. This is about the central bank digital currency, and this would then take all of our banking systems as we know them and put them into a centralized banking system. Central bank digital currency they are talking about is programmable tokens. Programmable tokens attached to a ESG social credit governance score. The central bank digital currency is track and trace money that would be controlled by the private Western central bank, essentially taking our free will to do as we wish with our financial assets. And in turn, the government could watch everything we buy, track and trace every purchase, anything we're investing on. They can then, on that end, go after you with taxes and liens and other financial tools that can really take away your ability to live the life that you choose with life, liberty, pursuit of happiness as you see fit. What we've seen in 2021 and 2022 with the Federal Reserve and the printing of cash is an influx where 40% of the US dollars out there have been printed in the last 2 years, devaluing our dollar dramatically. The rest of the world right now is strongly considering returning back to the gold standard and leaving the reserve currency of the US dollar behind. This has been a result of the sanctions in Russia and other sanctions by our government on foreign countries that no longer trust the US dollar. And I think the best thing we can do is A, know that we have to weather this storm. We have a financial storm brewing. We are going to get through it. America will prevail. But in the meantime, I really am suggesting, as I am doing myself, to protect your savings, protect your 401ks and IRAs. And the great way to do that for me is gold and silver. I've been working with Beverly Hills Precious Metals for a little over 2 years. They've been really great with me and my family and friends. They have experts in different fields and different avenues. And if you go to our partners page and you go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, you will find a real person who knows exactly what can be done to help you in whatever circumstance you're in, wherever you find yourself. They will meet you there. They will help you come up with a plan. You can have your gold and silver delivered to you. They also have a depository that's insured that you can have your gold and silver there for you. And in the end, I do believe that America will succeed and we will rise again and this country will return to the greatness and the beauty that we know and love. But in the meantime, we have a storm ahead. It's very uncertain. To learn more, please go to the Mel Kay Show Partners page and find Beverly Hills Precious Metals and contact the experts there to find the best path for you and your family to protect your savings and to prepare for whatever's ahead. God bless you, God bless America, and please take care of your family first.